here tonight and throughout the world. I recently heard of a man who had a very responsible job in a corporate position, and life became very hectic for him, overwhelming, began to feel isolated from family and friends, and just felt like he needed a shift gears in his life. So he quit his job and went to Scotland to be a shepherd, of all things. He had heard that Scotland was a beautiful country, and it is, and he thought that being a shepherd would be a good calling. You have that all that serenity and calmness around you. You have surrounded by green grass all over the place. And so he desired to be a shepherd and went to be that. It reminded me of a time in my life when I wanted to be a farmer. I knew very little about farming, but when I was a teenager, I heard the song by John Denver, Thank God I'm a Country Boy. And I said, I like that song. Got cakes on the griddle and get the fiddle and all those words. And I said, that's the life for me. Sign me up to be a farmer. But the last few churches I served were in rural communities, and I got to meet some farmers and observe their life. You work from sunup to sundown, no vacations. It's hot. There's no air conditioning out there on the farm most of the day. And there's mud, and you step in the manure, and there's flies all over the place, and you get kicked by the cow. And so I prayed, thank the Lord, I'm not a farmer. I thank God for farmers. Some of you have farmers in your background. This fellow went to Scotland and served as a shepherd for a year. Then he came back after just a year and took up his similar position in the job that he had. And a friend asked him, well, how was your experience in Scotland? And he just smiled and said, sheep stink. And they run away. And you got to go after them all the time. When Jesus was born, he came, the Bible says, when we, like sheep, went astray, we go our own way. But he doesn't stop after a year. He comes after us every year of our lives and shows that love and commitment and consistency of faithfulness that he has. And he could touch us as a shepherd, a good shepherd that we need as his people. And he said, I came to seek and save anybody who is lost in any manner. You might feel lost tonight, spiritually. Lost without closeness to people in your life that you feel that would be very special to you. Christ would come. He would come to seek and save you. Paul said Christ came to the world to rescue sinners. So there we are. Are you lost without Christ? If you are, he came for you. He came for you in a very special way. The shepherds in the Bible maybe were like the one shepherd who went to Scotland. For them, life wasn't very good. They had a hard time relating to the rest of society. They were a little bit, felt like outcasts, felt like they didn't fit in. If at times you feel like you don't fit in, you were like those shepherds. They were not noted for their strong character. Internally or otherwise, perhaps had a reputation of lying to themselves or lying to others. They weren't permitted to give testimony in a court of law. That's the shepherds. God brought news to them. He appeared to them. He loved them. And he said, I bring you good news of great joy and peace on earth, goodwill to you. And it hit the shepherds' heart. They felt like that news was for them. And the shepherds were either street wise enough or country boy wise enough to know they needed a Savior. And so off they go to have their life changed by God. And I think that's why people come to worship. Off we go to have our life changed by God. And the shepherds really had to say yes or no to Jesus when they heard the news and when they went to see the Christ child. They knew that life was short. They knew that life was a mess. They knew that they were a mess. Their souls were messy without God. And they were tough enough to already know that they didn't need to put off the question any longer as to what life was all about. And I think some of you are like that. You've lived long enough and seen enough difficult times to know what is really true and what is really not true. what really can help your soul and what is unhealthy for your soul. I think most of you have lived life long enough to be able to face how things really are. And so the shepherds came to meet Christ. And what did Jesus mean to them? What did Jesus mean to anybody who ever turned to him? Just a couple things that are a part of the Christmas story. When they met Christ, it began to be revealed to them from Matthew's gospel and other places that when Jesus came, they would experience God with us. They would experience God with them wherever they would go. And they would have a lot more confidence in that. We live in a culture and in a society that really values travel and transitions, and we're good at doing that. And because of that, in our culture, we often find ourselves isolated from friends and family that used to be there, perhaps they're no longer. And recently, people were surveyed across our land as to how many friends they felt they had at any one particular point in life, how many friends you have outside of your own immediate family. And the response came back that the average person feels like they have 1.2 friends in their life. So one friend that they can count on all the time, and then somebody else who's there 20% of the time. That's the 0.2 person. And up to 25% of the people who responded said they felt like they didn't have any friends at that particular time in their life. Somebody they could count on. Somebody who would say, yeah, I'll be there and show unconditional love to you. God recognizes our heart condition. It is not good for us to be alone, either apart from one another and especially apart from him. And he comes, God the Son comes, taking our full humanity on himself. And he says, I am with you, God with us, all the time. To have that. I think that's one of the greatest promises Jesus came to bring to light. God would be with us all the time. J.I. Packer, a great theologian, wrote about how Christ would connect with you in the everyday. I quoted this yesterday morning at 8:30. He said, you are engraved on the palm of God's hands. Some people perhaps have gotten a tattoo, you know. They're excited about Mary, and they got Mary on the arm, and then Mary... There's another gal came and they were in trouble. But God, He engraves our name on the palm of His hand. Okay, and He doesn't take it off. He says, that's His love for us. You are never out of His mind. He's always thinking of you. There's no moment when His eye is off of you. That's the Lord. Or when His care would falter. He loves us full well knowing us at our worst point. At our most sinful. He knows us. He loves us. God with us. He'd come to be with us. And the shepherds said yes or no to Jesus. We say yes or no to Him being with us. His friendship. He can be with you, or you could say, no, I want to be by myself. That's the no answer. But if you say yes to Christ and put your faith in Him, He'll be with you always. It's a promise from Jesus right before He went to heaven. Heaven is being with Jesus on earth. Till we get to heaven's shore. Hell is being apart from Jesus. A taste of it in this world. I think we've all tasted that. Eternity without God when we say no to Christ. That's a tragic life. It's a life we don't want to live. We want to yield to God. And then what else Jesus means to the shepherds and people? He is the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. That's why every guilty soul craves for peace with God and to be forgiven. What a gift to receive. What a gift to pass on. We feel like we're in a cage when we don't receive forgiveness or pass it on. It's the greatest gift any of us can ever receive, that grace of God that Christ won at the cross. We could have perfect health or a perfect job or family in some manner. But to know the forgiveness of sins, that lets us know we're loved by God. Just a warning about the forgiveness of sins. Don't ever think you're such a big sinner that God is not recruiting you to show you the forgiveness of sins. You are not such a big sinner to turn God away. He would come And his forgiveness is greater than our sin. So he'd embrace you tonight if you'd open your heart to him. And a second warning, don't think you are so full of good deeds, waiting for the Nobel Peace Prize of righteousness on your own, that you don't need the forgiveness of sins. Jesus would bring that as a gift. So we might know peace with God now and forever. You think of Christmas and children being connected? I think it is in every way, starting with the birth of Christ. The innocence and beauty of a child. Got some very well-behaved ones here tonight as they take in an early snooze, ready for tomorrow morning perhaps. But as a child, I remember thinking, what's the thing that's going to get me in trouble the most as a child? What's the biggest sin I could ever get into? And at age six or seven, it was, coming home late for supper. I wouldn't dare do that. It would be the end of the world as I knew it if I came home late for supper and would face my frowning parents or whatever. But to have that mind of innocence again. God would give it to us through forgiveness. Wouldn't you like to have the mind that looks at the world in an innocent manner? God says, see what love the Father has given us. We could be called children of God. And that's what he makes us to be. He's with us, the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus is heaven to us as a gift. And again, we face a crossroads. That yes or no to the forgiveness, yes or no to heaven as a gift. The sad part is that many people, I don't know if you've ever thought of this reality, don't want to go to heaven. I don't know if your lifestyle says, I don't want to go to heaven. Or does it say, Christ means everything to me, and he's my way to heaven? Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher of a century ago, said this, heaven's joys would be no joy for you if Christ is not your Lord. Heaven's joys would be no joy for you. God's praises would be wearisome to you. They would get on your nerves. They would be heavy to your heart. You'd put your hands over to your ears in heaven. In the contemporary way, God turns you off now. And you don't want to be turned off by him for all eternity. So you're avoiding heaven. But the shepherds knew they needed salvation. They needed heaven. And perhaps you feel that tonight. The responses in the Bible to Christ are very clear cut. Nobody ever said, Jesus is born ho-hum. Jesus is born whatever. Jesus is born big deal. It was always a yes or no eventually to Christ. The yeses were represented by the shepherds, the wise men. They said, I trust and follow Christ. The noes were represented by King Herod. Remember King Herod? He said, there's a rival king to my life and my kingdom, Jesus. And he just didn't try to get Jesus out of Christmas, you know. He tried to destroy him. And in your life, if you're not embracing Christ and saying, Lord, I trust you, I follow you, you end up on the road to King Herod really being antagonistic to God, which when you fight with God, guess who wins? God wins all the time. He'd like to have you join him in the victory that he has. And God would say to you, a Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord. For tonight, this would be a time to say, happy birthday, Jesus. Be my Lord of my life. Give me strength as a Christian. If I'm not a Christian, sincerely in my heart, I want to turn to you in true faith. You can do that. As you hear the news, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Heaven forever with Christ. Hell forever without Christ. He would die on the cross to give you heaven. Rise from the dead to be your best friend. That's the gift God offers. Would you want a Savior this evening? Just to remain close to him. If you don't know the Savior and you want to say, I want to be a Christian in my heart, you could say to God, God, with your help, I turn to you and I trust you. Help me follow you. Lord, I turn to you. I trust you. Help me follow you. And God will help you follow him all the days of your life. And it's not so much a prayer you pray in a moment of time. That is very, very important. But it's your heart follow through, following the prayer of your heart, which God will help you to do. That really means everything. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They will follow me." And that's a Christmas wish from God to us, to know Christ and to follow Him. Let's follow Him as people loved by Him. He longs for that to happen. As we continue in our candlelight service, let's pray and just commit the time to God and commit our hearts to Him. Thank you, Lord. Shortly we'll be singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every heart prepare Him room." So there's room in our hearts, Lord Jesus, for You. Take up Your rightful place in everybody's heart here. Lord, we'll be giving and receiving maybe some simple gifts or great gifts at Christmas. But we would like to receive the greatest gift, You, Jesus, and also pass on the greatest gift, You, Jesus. Be with every heart here, Father. Meet us at our point of greatest spiritual need. Because if we're honest enough, we'll open the door and find You standing there. And we'll be ready to trust and follow You. Comfort each one here. Give them a wonderful Christmas time with loved ones and with You. In Your name we pray. Amen.